Football on Off the Ball.
If someone had a song that referenced Sheffield or Hillsborough about Liverpool crying, we'd be up in arms.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Colin Boothick, speak of the devil, how are things?
Morning, Shane, how are you?
Keeping well. Arthur O'Dea, good morning, how are things?
It's crack.
It is... you always like Arthur's.
Wouldn't even look up. Oh yeah, yeah, it's crack.
Can I mention something to you both?
Yeah, you can.
It's Leaving Cert Results Day today.
I heard that. I heard someone say that in the office.
Yeah.
A parent of a child who was going to be receiving. I thought that was a Wednesday job.
Yeah, maybe it was when we.
I'm pretty sure I got mine on a Wednesday.
That's a great point.
I was going to ask you what are your memories of getting the Leaving Cert results?
Bad. I missed my first choice by. How did it work? 5 points,
five
wasn't
points
it?
Yeah. Then, yeah.
And got it checked.
Oh, yeah.
And it's 20 marks to bring you up. And I got, the checker found 12 marks, but you needed 15 to change up. So I essentially missed out on my chosen course by 3 marks.
Oh.
What year was this?
2007.
But it all worked out in the end for you.
Everything worked out. They were, in fairness, they were fairly similar courses. So right. It wasn't really that bad.
Where did you go to college?
UCC. Okay. It was great for the Cork people, actually.
Kept it local.
So handy. It was just down the road because they kind of catered for a lot of the stuff that you wanted to do.
Yeah.
How about you?
I was happy with my results, yeah. Because I did arts, English and history in college, but so I was comfortable enough in that I was confident I could get the points, but I wanted to hit a certain target. Mm. Got it. But
you want to be a teacher?
Nerve-wracking. Teacher was the backup option. I wanted to be a journalist.
I could see you be a teacher.
Yeah.
All day.
English and history were my
all
two.
Day.
But it was one of those, it's the family rivalries. You want to beat your siblings ultimately in the Leaving Cert.
Oh, yeah. That didn't really...
It didn't happen for me, but...
There's a excuse me, there's a teacher at the three of us here. Do you know that?
Is there? Arthur...
The man in the corner? Or like, the
Arthur strikes me as a man who was certainly happy with his Leaving Cert results.
No, it was fine. It was grand.
Fine, 6-2-5.
No. I didn't enjoy that at all. Absolutely.
I remember
rote learning.
I remember hating the prees more than the thing itself.
Yeah.
Prees I remember hating them.
The whole thing is horrendous.
I think I peaked academically at the junior cert though.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a way better junior cert. Transition year at our school, it ruined us.
Yeah.
It ruined the transition year. There was too much time away.
Much messing.
I'd say they've changed it massively now, but they basically let you do what you want for a year. At that time, it was mental. Yeah. And then by the time you hit fifth year hits you like a ton of bricks. Like,
yeah,
I remember crazy. fifth year being no crack at all. At least the sixth year, at least the finals around the corner.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
You can smell freedom.
The big match is coming.
Yeah,
5th year is pre-season.
That's true.
It's 5th year is the bleep test. There's no footballs out in the pitch.
Yeah. I just remember playing pitch and putt during my Leaving Cert in the sun, just trying to
it was a great,
unwind.
As is often the case, there's great weather. It was great weather in the year I did it. It wasn't great weather this year, though, I don't think, during the Leaving Cert.
No,
didn't the weather only get good there recently?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was shocked. I heard someone say today about their kid receiving results of a Friday.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus, if it works out well for you, what a weekend.
Oh.
So it's actually a great idea to do it on a Friday. And even if it doesn't work out for you,
yeah,
you can console yourself because it's the weekend.
That's true. I was going to say best of luck to everyone getting the results, but the best of luck portion was the actual exam. They can't control
it. Still, if you're a person of faith,
yes,
you can wish luck now. I think it's right out when we go off air as well.
Yeah, straight away.
I think it's around 10 o'clock this morning that people get the results. So if people are listening.
I torture myself. I think, you can get results from early morning. I waited like 3 in the afternoon.
Do you think we have...
Before going in, yeah.
I remember being late. I remember getting calls from people. How'd you get on? I haven't gone in yet.
Yeah. Nonchalance.
I was out the night before. Yeah. Which is crucial, really.
Pre-celebration.
Yeah. Well, distraction. I wonder, is any of our audience at Leaving Cert age, or if there are the parents of
Charlie
close kids
to getting the results today? Okay.
Says that second one.
So well, I know one of the legends of our YouTube, DK.
Yeah.
For instance, he has adult children. So we're a variety of ages in our YouTube. I wonder what the average age of our YouTube regulars are.
Yeah. Good question. We'll find out someday.
If everyone throws in their age there, we can work it out.
Yeah, let us know your age. Carl Daly.
Boffins.
Yeah. Huh? Carl says in these YouTubes, 1986 junior cert year for me in Colossia, whatever. And all I could dream.
That's crazy that you're that age.
It's a long time ago.
Isn't it? All I could dream of was getting it done and getting out so I could work and fund my raving weekends.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Did he, who was that, Cardinho, is this?
Carl Daly.
Oh, Carl Daly, yeah, yeah. Cardinho's in the Philippines, isn't he?
Yeah.
Carl Daly, yeah. That's funny about the rave culture, because Danny Dyer was in a movie about raving at that time.
Your good friend?
What's that movie called? That will come to me anyway. Mm. But yeah, look, huge day. If there are any Leaving Cert students out there, it won't define you forever.
No, it won't. Please do not.
That's something that they don't tell you in school.
No, don't get too high with the highs or too low with the lows.
The next few years.
Yeah, exactly. Just the next few. You can change your
path around. Don't listen to your man in black in the corner. Listen to the light over here. It won't define you.
It's only how far back it seems. Like, so yours was what, 18 years ago?
2007.
Jesus, yeah,
18 years ago.
How does that make you feel?
The same.
18 years ago.
It's like,
this is time, isn't it?
Yeah, it's mad.
I don't feel 18 years older than I did when I did my Leaving Cert. But that's time, lads, isn't it?
That's time.
That's what happens.
Time waits for no one.
Mine was 08.
I was 2012.
Then the following year.
Yeah, yeah.
17 years for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is.
18 is more jarring. 18 is more jarring.
18 and 17.
Yeah,
but you have your 18th anniversary next year. And you'll be gone.
19
anxiety.
Is as good
you'll
as 20.
Just 20 years is coming up for you.
It's as long ago as it was the age I was doing it. So yeah. It's half my life ago.
That's wild.
See, I was only 17.
You were 17 doing your...
There you go, same thing.
They put you in the team at 17.
We'll always be... I didn't do a transition year.
Of course you fucking...
Yeah.
No, that's a waste of time. It's a waste of time, isn't it? Yeah, it's a waste of time. Yeah.
We'll do it live.
I'm not going out alone. Not going out alone to...
Yeah. No, I'll put me in, Bass. I'm ready.
Apologies to all the...
Let me know D over there. Yeah. Like.
I've distracted us all now from the story of the morning, which of course is the Shamrock Rovers win over Santa Clara 2-1 in the Azores, and of course Shelburne's 3-1 win over Linfield last night. Two incredible results, lads. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I think. And look, it was great. It was on TV, the Shelburne game, and we've been talking about it a lot. About all these games not being here, not being televised, and Stewie Byrne was here with us in this very seat, Shane, complaining about it, and he was on last night, and RT did a fine production and it was a great game. Penalties galore. The ref was penalty happy.
Yeah.
Shells, they got away with it at times. Linfield, they had a few opportunities outside of the goal that they did score. They missed the penalty, of course, themselves to level the game on the night.
Key moment.
One or two opportunities as well. But then you kind of can't help but be distracted about, because the fact that Shells have done that already this year against Linfield, can't help but be distracted about the Rovers result. And I suppose my feeling was, that's amazing, but it's not seismic. And I mean that as the ultimate compliment. Because you back Rovers to do well in Europe.
Yeah.
But Santa Clara came fifth in the Portuguese top division last season.
It's mad, isn't it?
To go there, go 1-0 down, and then to win 2-1. And a lot of people, again, mightn't have seen this game, but it was available. It was on LOI TV. But a lot of people mightn't have seen it. And it's actually quite difficult to find goals, isn't it, to watch them back, even the highlights.
Impossible.
Yeah. So Danny's Grant and Mandreo got the goals. And Mandreo's winner is beautiful. Like, it's not just a scrappy, like, their goal was scrappy. Santa Clara, McGinty made a great save, headed in then from point blank range. But Mandreo does a little bit of a dribble, passes it into the far corner. A real classy goal to win the game. And what a result to take to Dublin.
Yeah, the dangerous thing is now you would expect them to get the job done in Tala. And I don't know, like, I know this is a team who... a lot of people won't be familiar with, but as you say, fifth place in the Portuguese league last season is not to be sniffed at. The ground is a small kind of feel to it, regional sort of ground, as we were saying this morning, but that's one of the great Irish results. But they're only half at the halfway point, and obviously if they go on next week to exit the tournament, it'll count for naught. But Jesus, lads, that is... the reason it is so good is because, as you say, it's probably not a surprising thing at this stage. Like, Shamrock Rovers are a name that, you know, even people over in England maybe will have heard their name mentioned in the last 5 or 6 years because of big fixtures against big teams.
Yeah. Well, if you have, say, like, a Chelsea fan who's obsessed with football and catches in on the results, they'll be like, oh, I know this crowd from last season. So that will help. Like, it is a surprise, but it's not a shock. It's somewhere in the middle. It's still surprising for Shamrock, for an Irish side, to go over and beat a Portuguese team of that renown who did that well last season. I'm not saying that a load of people had heard of Santa Clara and they can't claim to have heard them, but the fact that they did so well. They were the best of the rest out of all the big four of Portugal. They were next. So it's an unbelievable night. And yet the stadium was mad. The news doors so far away from mainland Portugal itself. It was a game that existed in an island, but hopefully not metaphorically.
See what you did there, yeah.
That they'll bring it home in the second leg.
The Shells game, I was watching that one, and the red card seemed to be a turning point. Matthew Fitzpatrick sent off for the mistimed high foot. Like,
do you know what it reminded me of?
Yeah.
Do you remember when Nani was sent off against Real Madrid?
Fergie went mad.
Alex Ferguson's last season. It was like that. When he turned, wasn't looking, turned around, high boot into the chest.
Do you think it was a red?
I guess so. I kind of thought Nani's was a red as well at the time.
Did you?
Kind of, yeah. I suppose technically it was, because he put his foot, like, if you describe it on paper what he did, he went studs up into a player's chest. It's like, geez, that's kind of a red card, isn't it? The whole, whether it was purpose or accidental, you can never write that in a rule book, really. How can you ever prove that he didn't mean that? Mm. He almost certainly didn't mean it. Why would he want to do it? Same as last night. Fitzpatrick was the same, you know, on Mbeng. It was funny. It was Kieran McInerney next to him, or was it Mark Coyle? Just looked at him when he was sent off. There was no real reaction. Your man was kind of in disbelief. But it was so early in the game, I thought it was going to be defining. Mm. And then the ref gave Shells two penalties.
Yeah. That word, intent, seems to be the word that's floated around. And if you go by intent alone, probably wasn't a red card. But I'm reading the rules of the game. Referees don't just look at intent, but the nature of the challenge or the consequences it could have. So a high challenge with studs showing is usually considered serious foul play because it endangers the safety of an opponent. So even if a player doesn't mean it necessarily and the intent isn't there, I can still see how it was a red card. But straight away when I was watching it, and even after watching a few replays of it, I was like, that's not a red. But I can see how in the rules of the game and the laws of the game,
yeah,
it's given.
Yeah, exactly. I disagree with it subjectively, but I've seen it given. Mm. So objectively, I understood why it was given as a red card. But yeah, the ref wasn't afraid to make a call because Shells, for the penalty they did convert, the second one, that was originally given as a free kick.
Yeah.
But there was VAR. It was overturned and brought the penalty. But it didn't go to the screen, funny enough. The ref was about, did you see this? The ref had blew the whistle to take the free kick and then overrode it and was like, just pointed to the spot instead.
Yeah.
Because if you're Linfield at that point, if you were anyway flirting with the idea of paranoia, if that was in your psyche whatsoever, you would have been flustered. A man down and two penalties conceded.
Yeah.
But they got their own, they got their mini retribution when they were awarded the penalty in the second half to level the game. That was another poor penalty. Two out of the three penalties were poor. The one that was converted wasn't the best penalty of all time either, but he got into the left corner. And you'd fully back Shells to go through in the return leg.
You would.
Rovers will be tasty now, because you imagine Santa Clara will be aggrieved at their own display.
You'd fully back Shells, and yet if there can be craziness that goes on in these types of games, particularly up there in Belfast. That's going to be some atmosphere. Like, it was a crazy atmosphere last night, it seemed, at Talca Park as well. The missed penalty, Kieran Offord penalty for Linfield, like, the build up took so long, and then he was doing, I don't know if you noticed, that he was doing his keepy uppies for ages before he actually put the ball down the spot. He was killing a bit of time, and the keeper, obviously, the Shells keeper, was just, I guess, delaying the taking of the kick, and it was a poor penalty. But even Harry Wood's penalty was a poor penalty. You know, it was a perfect height for the Linfield keeper.
Let me ask you this, right? If a penalty goes in, is it ever poor? I would say, I would say Meepo's penalty last week that went in was shocking.
Yeah, you can be lucky.
But it's squirmed under a keeper.
Yeah.
Which was the one in Italia 90?
In the shootout?
The poor one that kind of just, ooh, dribbled under.
Yeah, there was a couple of dodgy enough ones.
Someone will know that.
Someone will know in the YouTube comments.
Well, against Romania.
Yeah.
I don't think it was a poor one. There was a left footed one that was hit well, but it went under the keeper, and he could have said that was hit with power. I don't think it was a trickler. And thereby, Kieran Offord, who got the Linfield goal, he had a great chance in the first half when McInerney passed across the pitch.
Yeah.
He actually did really well, go around the goalkeeper and fired it. It was an interesting technique to fire it to it. Oh, it was ostensibly an open goal for a split second.
Yeah.
And he puts it just over. So they will be dangerous, Linfield, for the return leg. Now, it'll be interesting to see what gets televised next week.
Cascarino, says Dermot Keenan.
Yeah.
Yep.
What gets televised next week?
Ah, they'll have to show Shamrock Rovers.
You'd hope so.
Yeah, because they show Shelburne this week, do you think?
No, it's just like there's more on it. There's more, like, it's, it'll like, even aesthetically, it'll look amazing.
Mm.
I'm sure it must be as good as a sellout. Like, if it can't sell out for that,
yeah.
Imagine we're on the cusp here of having two teams in the group stages of European competition.
It's one of the biggest moments in Irish club football history.
And yet, we're not changing the entire running order of the show because of it.
Yeah, well, it's only the first leg done.
But it's a it's a testament to Rovers particularly, I would say.
Yeah.
This isn't absolutely mental because of what they've done.
I would like to know the difference, though. Like, I'm not trying to devalue it. Like, I would like to know what the difference is in real terms. Like, it's not like it's Benfica. I'm honest to God, not trying to diminish in the slightest, but I don't know what the fifth team in Portugal, I don't know what that level is like. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure they went there expecting to win. Now, I looked at it last night, I think they had two shots on target, two goals. So it's obviously an incredibly composed performance. But I know what you're saying in terms of, like, this hasn't come out of the blue.
Mm.
They obviously have so much European experience, but I'd love to know what the actual, like, if they come back and win 4-0 in Dublin or something. I don't think it's the difference between, like, Pats and Besiktas.
No,
I wouldn't think it's the same as that.
Probably, yeah. Probably you're wrong under, because Besiktas obviously contend for the Turkish league and all
Carson
that. But this crowd probably did. I stopped myself, though. That's the crucial thing. It never happens.
Once the F comes out, that's too much.
What you said there is imagined. It
once
never occurred.
Once the F comes out,
you could have left it. You could have left it. We all would have got on with it.
I'm enjoying
Santa Clara. Santa Clara versus Besiktas would be the game there to decide that. But Besiktas, yeah, well, they would contend for the league title, whereas Santa Clara probably could have overperformed to come fifth. I would still hazard a guess, without watching the Portuguese league every week, that the fifth place team in Portugal is going to be superior than the best team in Ireland.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I would agree with you. I'm curious what the level is.
Is Off the Ball Breakfast in the Azores going mental this morning?
Yeah. What would that show be called? We'll have a think. Let us know in the comments. 10-man Santa Clara in the Portuguese league in January of this year. 10-man Santa Clara drew 1-1 away to Porto. So that's the sort of result that the Santa Clara team.
Yeah, but then we're Porto furious at themselves.
Maybe, yeah. Don't know. Look, we can diminish these results all we want. But
yeah, we're trying our best, aren't we?
I'm not diminishing it. I'm just genuinely curious.
The lads aren't on the plane on the way back. Oh, we'll listen to this together.
Love to know, like, if you're coming back now and you have a realistic chance, or was it an oddity?
Yeah.
And you lose 3-0. Like, that's just all I'm interested in. It's hard to know.
Someone says Vitória Guimarães were Portugal's fifth place representatives last year, went deep in the conference knockouts. Says Lou P. Few other comments. I'm no League of Ireland fan, but I do smile when a club gets a positive result in Europe, especially as Portuguese league is far superior. So well done, Shamrock Rovers, says Carlinho.
That's probably the most accurate reflection of the country, I would say.
Yeah.
A lot of people wouldn't support the League of Ireland, but they'd be happy. I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Some Irish people will look at the back pages this morning and find out that result, for example.
True. And then some people who are League of Ireland fans will be joyous and trying to get everyone else on board, rightly so.
Keen, could be Roy, who knows, says Rovers result, most impressive Irish European result in history.
Wow.
Taking into account the quality of football.
You can't just say that. You say, wow, as if that thing, like, didn't Cork have a very notable
Bayern Munich, but this is this person's opinion.
Shelburne drawn with Deportivo.
We'll relax.
Just because I haven't last
Arthur
night.
Arthur absolutely hates this result.
No,
hates
it's just
it.
Like just because I haven't last night.
We played a game that had to be wrong, he says.
God.
People are still interested, you know, the comments coming in on it. Someone also talking about the Leaving Cert. Junior Cert actually in 2002, watching World Cup between exams. That'd be very distracting altogether, having a major tournament in the middle of your...
I had Euro 2004 for the Junior Cert.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember there was a stadium where there was like a rock face behind
Ragged,
the goal?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a mountainside.
Brilliant. Looked class. Like a quarry on.
There's a great game in that tournament that my buddy, friend of the show, Paul Moore, says it's his favourite game ever. And I think it's the Netherlands against Czech Republic.
That rings a bell from that tournament.
It was like 4-3 or something.
Yeah.
And I don't really remember the game too well, but I've heard it from more than one person, more than Paul, that says it's
the Milan Baroš tournament, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was where Czech Republic could have done a Greece in it themselves, but they had a really good team. They had Baroš and Tomáš Rosický.
Jan Koller, no?
Jan Koller, Pavel Nedved.
Oh, yeah. Great team.
They had a really good side. Yeah.
Were they semi-finalists that year? They're certainly quarter-finalists.
I think they were semis, from memory. They had a really good side.
Dara Riley says Dundalk beat Bate Borisov 3-0, which was another absolutely solid result, in fairness.
I know, sure, put that in the back burner.
Yeah.
It's useless.
Listen,
there's a lot of results.
This is one person's opinion, and I'm here for it.
Should more of these players be considered for senior Ireland team now performing in the European stage?
Well, it will help, but I don't know. I mean, at the moment, it's just Josh Honan, isn't it, and the rest. And
yeah.
It's like, that's the problem. Was we seem to develop players in that position quite comfortably for that level of the game. But like, it would be nice to see attacking midfielder or a forward from the League of Ireland getting the game.
Yeah.
But like, it's just they're the difference in levels. So like, if you're playing that well against the fifth best team in Portugal, how does that prepare you for international football?
Yeah.
There's still probably another couple of levels to go. Like,
Someone's made the point that Milan Baroš wasn't the top scorer in that tournament, and that certainly rings a bell. Euro 2004. Just trying to see exactly how far the Czechs went in that tournament. So, yeah, they lost to Greece 1-0 in the semis.
You say it in the tone like it's a game that's happening now.
Yeah,
like
21 years ago.
Give you this result in a second. Just getting this up.
It's a great tournament though. Portugal beat the Netherlands 2-1.
Was it not a shite tournament? Was it not terrible? Yeah.
No, I don't remember that much.
Maybe it was the age I was.
There was a good quirk with it that the first game and the last game was the same and the same result.
Because Greece were just diabolical to watch, weren't they?
Like, they were shocking, but like so much so that it was endearing.
Everyone was supporting them because they were the underdog.
They had a man up front who was class.
Aristeas.
Yeah, and they had the guy for Bolton.
Yeah. Stelios.
Stelios.
Giannakopoulos.
Yeah, the man himself. Who was their manager?
And their best fella who ended up
Otto Renga.
That was him.
And he used to do the whistle thing with like that finger.
I love those. You know what? No one can do that anymore. That's died out. Being able to do a whistle with their fingers is died.
Yeah.
Instead of TikTok, Shane, that's what you used to do.
Yeah, true.
You used to whistle with your fingers.
Yeah, but I can't do that still.
You have chessies.
Can you not do it?
No, I can't. I can whistle, but I can't
whistle, but this guy was always doing it like that.
Can you whistle with your finger?
Yeah. I'm not doing it here.
But how do you even put, what shape do you mean?
It's very hard.
You can't explain it. It's just talent, isn't it?
Can you show me the shape you do with your hand?
It's just like that. If you're just,
you know this one where they go like,
can you do it?
No. And then the two fingers in there, and it's like the most unbelievable. It's like a whistle.
Dara's looking at us. What's like three heads?
What's he saying there?
Don't whistle, he said.
All right, I might think
that. It's a tough thing to do though.
It's like whistling and then chessies. You know, having a chessie fight, chestnut tree.
Yeah.
That was your Instagram reels and your TikToks. Do you know what
back
I mean?
In the day,
there was a guy who went on to play for Fulham. Who played in that Greece side, and he was an attacking midfielder. I think he played for Inter as well. I started with a K.
Kasami?
No, not Kasami. He scored one of the great goals in the Premier League. No, this guy was, I want to say Kariakis.
Right, yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
And he was sensational. So they actually, so now we've named
Greek.
Now we've named four players from that Greece side.
What was the centre back?
Greek.
He had like a, Dallas.
What are you laughing at?
There was Dallas, I think.
How
was
the Czech
there?
Republic?
I imagine.
Oh,
yeah.
Dallas.
Yeah, I
Dallas,
think so.
Texas.
Yeah.
Where did they come?
Where did they come?
The Czechs.
The Czechs semi finalists.
They lost to Greece.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
1-0 in the semis, yeah.
So they 1-0 their way to the tournament. Yeah, there's a lot to love about that. A
lot to love about it, in fairness. They had a great tournament, you know.
We should get Keith in here
and talk about all this. By the way, but to plug one thing we're going to talk to Keith about. Premier League, great. This was something you want to touch on. We'll get the YouTube comments.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? Best, your favourite ever Premier League goal?
Well, we're doing this panel with Keith now, so I want a team. For your favourite Premier League goal. Now, favourite Premier League goal doesn't mean best.
No.
I don't want to hear your Dennis Bergkamp's, Alan Shearer's, you know, like all these goals. Like, that's fine if that's your favorite goal, that's grand. But like, you know, I've seen those goals a million times, so it's like the goal that means something to you. It can be a quality goal.
You need a why.
Yeah,
absolutely. That's 100%. You can't just say the goal.
Tell us your why.
So go. Do you want to do a teaser? Because you have a few options, I imagine. So does Arthur.
So give us
one each, just to get the juice.
Well, I would
flowing.
Say mine is the Dimitar Berbatov overhead kick into the Stretford end. Manchester United against Liverpool to make it 2-0, 2010-11 season. The reason being, Berbatov was just a cult hero of mine because I had a mate in school who was a Manchester United fan who didn't like him. So I knew I had, you know, was bragging rights in school. Because
he did have polarise, actually.
He did. True. And he had a hat-trick in that game, and that was just... There's also, if you watch the goal back, Rooney, I think, goes for the header just in front of him, clearly distracting him. But Berbatov just didn't care. Took the ball down, overhead kick into the... off the crossbar, aesthetically pleasing.
Sorry, I didn't realise there was so many academic wunderkids in Ireland. Paul Morris texted me saying he was 16 doing his leaving cert. Now that's crazy.
Yeah, a mate of mine was the same.
That's crazy. So you're not ready for that. You've barely done your junior cert.
Jesus, yeah.
Bloody hell. Do you want to give a goal there to whet the appetite?
Kasami. Shane sort of stole the thunder.
Sorry.
He wasn't happy with Shane there. He'd put into the don't ever say that again.
Don't ever do that again.
Yeah, Kasami versus Palace.
What's your why?
Just a great goal. Because it was one of those goals where, like, as improbable as it would seem, it still made a lot of sense. You're like, oh, I could see how that would work, even though you'll never really see it. You can, like, I kind of get how all that could fall into place. But it so rarely would.
However,
yeah,
it's so unlikely. And tell me this, does it add to the allure that that was really the only thing he ever did in the Premier League?
Oh, yeah.
Does that help?
That was the start of that season, wasn't it?
I think it was early. It was a Monday night game at Selhurst Park. Yeah. Crystal Palace, Fulham.
Mm. Yeah.
People know what we're talking about. I think you share your favourite with Kevin Kilbane. I think that's Kevin Kilbane's favourite Premier League goal.
It was just outrageous. It was. Just like, yeah.
It was. Because it's not that I do down volleys, right, generally. But I think that volleys are handy for that level of footballer because it sits up nicely for you.
Yes,
so there's a great goal. Jamie Vardy scores a volley against Liverpool for Leicester. People might remember this. I think it's the year after they win the league.
Half volley, yeah.
And it sits up beautifully for him and he hits it, right?
Sure,
and people
volley.
And people went mental over it.
First. Oh,
yeah. People went mental over it. And I was like, but that's a handy skill for Jamie Vardy.
Mm.
He's the top level of the game.
The crouch
one, but you're
well.
Not factoring in the keeper's also the top level of the game.
But it's on, like, it's on Vardy's racket, so to speak.
Well, why are they so rare?
It's on Vardy's racket.
Why are they so rare?
They're not rare for a player like that.
But they're very rare.
Do you know what I mean?
Show me another one.
I think it got two. It's a good goal. You're trying to talk me into saying this isn't a good goal. Never said that. It's a good goal. I'm saying it's too much praise for a player, that
it's
ability.
Formulaic.
However, the Kasami goal.
Ludicrous.
I've never seen anything like it because he's chesting the ball and he's running away. Shane, he's facing the corner. Yeah. Flag. You haven't seen the goal.
I have seen the goal. It's similar to the Peter Crouch one where he's kind of facing away.
No, I don't like that one.
Don't be doing that.
I don't like that Peter Crouch one.
No, like Sammy goal is a level above the Crouch one. But I mean, it's similar.
Crouchy's just messing when he's in that.
Yeah,
he's just chesting. He does this scissor body. It is class, like.
Unbelievable.
But not a Kasami one. Do you know why? I'll give you another reason for the Kasami one. He doesn't break stride.
Yeah.
His pace of run does not change once.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it back again now in the ad break. Just gone 8 o'clock. That was very satisfying. It literally hit 8 o'clock as we came back there on Friday morning. Off the ball breakfast with myself, Colm, Arthur, and delighted to have Keith Tracy in studio. Morning, Keith.
How are we, lads? Good morning.
What do you want to call this slot now? It's two Fridays in a row.
Yes,
that's it. Fridays with Keith.
Like that sounds nice, doesn't it?
Come up, yeah, it's
Keith Friday.
Keith Friday.
I've been called Man Friday a couple of times in the training ground, yeah.
Right.
Well, what?
Man Friday. Don't turn up Monday to Thursday. It's Friday before the game. Turn on the magic.
That's the day you got to show up. Fair play, yeah. In fairness. Where do you want to, Colm, where do you want to start this? Do you want us to continue with the favourite goal, or do you want
to... Oh, we'll get the comments in about people's favourite goals and we'll go back to it. But we should probably start with last night, should we?
Sure. Yeah.
Mental. Shamrock Rovers. We were saying, where does it... sit in the seismic results of Irish sides in Europe. My one argument was, we're kind of getting used to this at Rovers, but it's the fifth best side in Portugal. They went there 1-0 down, they won 2-1, and they played well too.
Yeah, they played very well. It's more like there was control in the game without them banging down the door to Santa Clara. They kept the ball really well, but as soon as Santa Clara scored, I actually rolled my eyes and thought, that's that bit of class starting to come through now. They got three Brazilian lads up front that are very, very quick, very mobile. They've got a boy called Wendell that they signed for $1.5 million from Porto.
Is he the fastest player in the world, this guy? Dan McDonald was writing about this in the Irish Independent, that they have the fastest footballer in the world.
I said, don't worry about it. I've met a few of them. You give them a football, though, when things get a little bit bogged down. But look, they're very, very quick and very, very mobile. But I thought they were really, really good. Good. Like, it wasn't a smash and grab. I know they only had two shots on goal, but they were defensively very, very solid. And this, I say it all the time, if you go back a year, maybe 18 months, Rovers would have went there and played all sorts of football and probably got a pat on the back for the football they played, but would have lost the tie. Yeah. Whereas it was a little bit more dogged with the control, with decent possession, but didn't get caught in bad areas playing. And it's really, really good. Danny Grant goal, the Mandreou goal, and obviously a goal disallowed as well. But there's echoes of the Shelbourne game against, who did they play last? Rijeka, when they got such a good result and everybody was patting them on the back. It's only half time in this one. So if Santa Clara come over and beat them in Talla, it means absolutely nothing. But they were fabulous last night. But I wouldn't be putting it up there with the best League of Ireland result in Europe.
A few of the YouTube commenters.
Yeah, I've seen them coming in.
Doing that this morning, you know. But
not happening.
No, I think there's been bigger results.
Only because it's the first leg or overall?
Yeah, only because it's the first leg. Yeah. Like I say, if Shamrock Rovers lose the next leg, then nobody's going to remember this one. So it has to be a defining win, but really, really good opening one.
This is probably not the most pressing question, but like Jack Byrne must be feeling terrible this morning. They sure need me.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it? Because I've been in that position where you're thrown out of the team and you're looking, and you don't want to be looking at them thinking, I hope they lose, but you're looking at them thinking, I hope something happens that they come looking for me, that they need me. And at the minute, Stephen Bradley be thinking, we don't need Jack Byrne, you know, to be able to beat Santa Clara away is a big, big cue for them. So if they'd have lost that game and they looked a little bit toothless in front of goal and weren't creating chances, then everybody would have been throwing Jack Bourne's name around this morning. The fact that they haven't done it, they've dodged a bit of a bullet, but they've been excellent. They've been really, really good. And as long as the team keeps playing like that, then the Jack Byrne one, it's not much of an issue.
Tracy Time, someone's suggesting in YouTube.
Tracy Time
by Dave Tansey. There's not much more to say about this, but what an unbelievable week in the life of Stephen Bradley as well.
Yeah.
The Shamrock Rovers fans chanting Josh's name afterwards. Great video. I think we actually have the video. We might play it there. But it's an amazing, amazing moment that Stephen Bradley can look at the fans celebrate together, because there's so few of them in the grand scheme of things out there. It's such a ridiculously long way to go. And what a week it's been.
Yeah.
There you go. We can still talk with the microphones on, but this is the Rovers fans. Now, like, the result of that game is totally irrelevant in the context of everything else, but still, to come together like that, celebrate it, it's like, it's easy for us to get cynical about football and all that, but sometimes it brings people together. It was an amazing moment.
It really is an amazing moment. When I heard the news yesterday that Josh had got the all clear with his cancer battle, I gave Stephen Bradley a text. And very rarely, I would very, very rarely text a manager on a match day to do with anything, because I know their plate is pretty much full. But I thought some things are just bigger than football. And I basically just said to Stephen, look, from one father to another, I'm absolutely over the moon for you. It's the best news you could hope for. And thankfully, he texted back before the game just saying, thanks very much, Keith. We're one of the lucky families, and they're over the moon. So to get that result and get the Josh's diagnosis, and to be able to ring that bell in Crumlin Children's Hospital is any father that could put themselves into Stephen's shoes. And the way he's held himself over the last 3 years while Josh has been having that cancer battle is you know, I have no idea how he's managed to do what he's done. Him and his wife and his family have been unbelievable. They're a real inspiration to everybody.
I was really lumping the throat stuff when I saw the video, the bell video, first of all, during the week, and then that video as well, just to see the, obviously, the emotion on Stephen Bradley's face. But it's, because I remember even Stephen talking about the fact that, you know, he was on European trips at the height of his son's illness and felt like he was in the wrong place and should have been at home when he wasn't, and must have been so difficult. But to finally be on the far side of it like this is incredible. Testament to the man, testament to the family, and testament to Josh, obviously, first and foremost, but amazing stuff, and to have that moment with your fans, he's going to remember that. That's beautiful stuff. Like,
yeah, there's some things that just go beyond football, and I'm sure Stephen Bradley in years to come will remember a lot of the good football stuff he's done with Shamrock Rovers. But that, the fans singing Josh's name in front of him, and even the way the Shamrock Rovers squad have been so good, you know, you see Josh knocking around that training, you see him on the pitch every now and then just knocking around, and they've really taken to him and they've made him feel like one of their own, which is, it's absolutely brilliant. And I think that's why a lot of people like the League of Ireland, because there is that access, and obviously, you know, his dad is the manager, so he had easy access. But the way the lads taken to him, and the way they obviously the crowd, it's brilliant. There is real lump in the throat sort of stuff.
The good news for both sides, for Shamrock Rovers and Shelburne, is they're supposed to play each other this weekend in the League of Ireland, but that's postponed, so now they have a full training schedule ahead of them to enjoy ahead of the second leg, which is really important. Now, I don't know if they weren't playing each other, if the League of Ireland would have accommodated that, but it feels like you'd hope that they would have, because this is on the cusp of something quite amazing, that we'd have two teams in the group stages of a European competition.
Yeah, well, it happens all over Europe. I've seen
that they do accommodate.
It's particularly in the French league that, you know, if PSG are battling to get into something, they will accommodate and, you know, give them time off within their domestic campaign. So we're on the brink here of two League of Ireland teams getting league stage group football. It really is mind-boggling. And again, I know I keep going back, but the League of Ireland has made such a big jump in a short period of time that if I'd have said this 18 months, we'd have gone, not happening, Keith. It's not happening. Possibly Shamrock Rovers, but nobody else is going to make it.
Yeah.
And now we've got Shelbourne with the champions path, looks brilliant. But Shamrock Rovers could be the first ever League of Ireland team to qualify without the champions path, so we're knocking down all sorts of records all the time, and it's a great time to be a League of Ireland fan.
How about Joey O'Brien at Chels? Stepped in, for Damien Duff, and it made sense at the time that, well, that's the most natural replacement. But it's not just that he's filling in for Damien Duff or the next man in. He seems to be excelling here.
Yeah, he does. And again, like I don't think the Shelbourne was broken. I think they've reached the sort of peak under Damien Duff, and Joey's made a couple of little tactical tweaks here or there. I love the 5-3-2 formation. I've seen Scotland play it for a couple of years now. And it's people get bogged down and go, five at the back, it's a defensive. It's not defensive. If you have the ball, you can push your two wing-backs up 10 yards and all of a sudden it's an attacking formation. So I really like the fluidity in it. And Joey's just made it his own. A couple of little tweaks here or there. But, you know, a lot of people are saying to me, 3-1, that's it. The toy is dead. It is not dead. I mean, if you look at the two games beforehand, there was really, really nothing in it. Shelbourne won the first leg of the first games, went up to Windsor Park. And he could have been 2-0 down in that game. They made a couple of mistakes. Cairns made one, and they got out of jail once or twice. And even last night, you know, Meepo had a header from 12 yards out in the first 5 minutes that he sort of scuffs off his shoulder, and you're thinking, these are huge moments in European ties that you have to take. And it was a free header, the Fitzpatrick sending off. I'm hearing all sorts about this. My take on it is, it's a harsh sending off, but it is a sending off. You can't lift your studs 5 foot into the air and plant them into somebody's chest and go, sorry, you didn't know he was there. If you lift your foot 5 foot in the air and you make contact with somebody, it's up to you.
What if you lift your foot 5 foot in the air? Maybe you could make the argument he should have been aware of his surroundings, but let's say he wasn't aware of his surroundings and his eyes on the ball and his foot is, whatever, 5 feet in the air just to take the touch. It's
irrelevant. Yeah, whether he knows he's there or not, you can't lift your foot 5 foot in the air, especially not with the stud shown, because he just goes in. And look, I don't think Mbeng was overly hurt in the situation, but you just can't lift your foot. You know, what do referees say? You're endangering an opponent and you have to take their welfare into account. There was nothing like that. For me, it's a red, it's a harsh red. And even the Odebeko, the force penalty, I thought was harsh as well. You know,
that's the handball, is it?
Yeah, when the cross comes in and the Linfield player slides and it sort of hits him on the top of the elbow. If you're throwing yourself to block a ball, it's only natural that your arm's going to come up a bit. So I know people say, oh, these arms aren't down by your side, but you try sliding with your arms down by your side. It's the most unnatural thing in the world. So I think that was a harsh penalty. So David Healy and Linfield must have been thinking, my God, the whole world is against us here. The second one, in real time, I thought it was a penalty. I looked and thought, that was miles inside the box. And then, thankfully, the ref had a look. I thought the ref was, 1 minute he was really weak and giving, like, really, really weak free kicks. Then the bar was so high and he wasn't giving them. And then there was penalties and red cards. What I'm trying to get at is, this was a really, really tight game. I thought Barrett should have been sent off. Roscoe at the back post for Linfield, when it's 2-1, wins a header. Paddy Barrett just punches it off the line.
Yeah.
And the referee gives the penalty, he spots it in real time, gives the penalty, but he means to do it. It's a deliberate handball because he knows he's about to be beaten in the air. Paddy Barrett should go. It should be a red for Shelbourne as well. So I think there was real moments in the game. And when you think Linfield were down to 10 men for 70 minutes, in the 20th minute, Fitzgerald gets sent off. Yeah, I thought Shelbourne were lucky. And not lucky, but like, I still think it was very similar to the fourth set of games where Shelbourne possibly left something behind. I know 3-1 on paper is a good result. 70 minutes against 10 men with a couple of opportunities. I thought a forward up front for Linfield was decent. He ran around, made himself really busy. But yeah, I think it's all to play for in Windsor Park.
You mentioned Meepo Odebeko, and like, he is a man who's come in for a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
Perhaps rightly so, based on performances at different points this season. But you saw his celebration when he does score the goal and he points to his head. You know, it's almost like that he obviously has the mental strength to go and do that after having, you know, as you say, the miss and the penalty miss as well. But then he goes and wins the penalty, the second penalty, and has that finish. I know it was deflected, but still scores a goal and did show a little bit of mental strength and character to come back and do that.
Yeah, well, look, every young player should look at this. If you look at Meepo's contribution last night, he done well, he ran around, he scored his goal. But when he wins the penalty, that's just running after the ball. That's just deciding, I'm not going to let the centre-half take this down easily. I'm going to get after him. It's a little bit of a loose touch. He nicks it and all of a sudden they win a penalty. Just go and run after people. Like, so often you watch teams, and even in the Premier League across the water, people just think, oh, well, a good player, so I won't press them. Get after them. Make them earn. Make them show you that they're good players. And if they do it once or twice, then maybe you get your wrist slapped and think, I'm not going in there now anymore. But so often people just say, I'm not going to do it. So, look, just Meepo is a little bit erratic in terms of his finishing. He could score a wonder goal and he can miss from 2 yards. That's just the way he is. But what he brings to the team in terms of his work rate and everything else, he's a good player, but I don't think he can play by himself. John Martin was with him there last night. If it's Sean Boyd, Martin, whoever it is, even Wood getting close to him, he needs a partner there because he can get gobbled up and a little bit lost when he's by himself. But in a partnership, he's an absolute handful.
Would you make any changes for the second leg for Shells?
No, I'd be happy enough. Well, look, I'm a big, big fan of Sean Boyd, and if Sean Boyd is fit and fired, and I know Joey said he was back running on the pitch the other day, but obviously the game yesterday came a bit too early.
He's good to bring on though, isn't he? Because he unsettles defenders big time.
Really unsettles defenders, and I always think, what are Linfield going to try and do? When Windsor Park, you would imagine they'll try and get after Shelbourne and make them feel uncomfortable. And if they're going to do that for the first 15-20 minutes, the easiest thing in the world to do for your left back, right back, centre half, chip it up to Sean Boyd's head and get Meepo or Becker winning around him. Now, I don't know how fit Boyd he is, but if he was fit, I'd play him. And, you know, even if, as you say, Cullum, if he's coming off the bench, brilliant. But even we didn't even touch on the Caffrey goal as well. It's a simple tap in, but it's the anticipation.
Arthur thought he was going to miss.
Yeah, did you come off the top of the ankle, didn't they, a little bit? It's one of those where you're 10 yards out, you think just a decent contact will do, but as soon as he heard it, you probably go, oh, geez. And then up in the back of the net. There was all sorts of spinning it once it hit the post, but he got it in anyway.
That's the only time where football seems really slow, isn't it, when you get a chance like that, where it bounced in front of you and was like, I can't miss this chance. This will be the end of me if I miss it. It's like, what do I do with this? Do I take a touch? Do I side foot? Do I put it with my laces?
The pressure. But like, it was Harry Woods deflected shot, wasn't it?
Hit the post. Yeah,
but Harry Woods' performance, generally speaking, like,
he got there in the match and officially.
But it takes a player, particularly in the European game, I'm thinking like even Roy Keane against Juventus. You know, someone who takes the game by its horns and just goes with it. And he seemed to be that man who was calling for the ball the whole time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Harry Wood. Again, what I love about him is he just always pops up in these pockets and roam. And so often you always call these players like Casper the Friendly Ghost, where they're behind players and they're going, yeah, give it to me. They don't really want it, but he's always there, Wood, in those pockets, and he always wants it. He's brilliant at manipulating the ball out of tight spaces. I'd love to see Shelbourne once or twice, Norris on the left wing back position, he would break through the middle and you think, well, keep going, and he'd hit the brakes and come back out and you think, go and smell blood. There was, as I say, 10 men for 70 minutes. Shelbourne smell a bit of blood and really step on the throat. I know Caffrey got the goal towards the end to make a 3-1. That looks nice. But, you know, is Joey and Shelbourne thinking that could have been 4? That could have been 3-0, 4-0. Yeah. Could have been absolutely done. But for me, it's still in the balance.
Are Shelbourne a better team than Linfield?
Yeah. Yeah, on paper, they're a better team.
So the second leg would go wrong for Shells if they underperform, rather than Linfield playing to their potential.
Well, in the first game up in Windsor Park, it was Shelbourne made their own mistakes, playing out from the back, getting caught in midfield, making bad decisions. I would imagine it would be a lot more basic, especially in the first 45 minutes. You just bog it down, make it horrible, get the crowd disconnected, and make Linfield not want to be there as well. It'll be difficult to do, but you just take your time over everything. You know, nobody wants to hear this. Nobody wants to go to a game and see people time wasting. But game management is absolutely massive in every game. You see Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal will always do it. So Shelbourne going to Windsor Park, why wouldn't they?
They're both going through, do you think?
Yesterday I said I didn't think Shamrock Rovers would get through, but I expect Rovers now in Tallaght to have enough to, you know, even get a draw against Santa Clara, and, you know, that will see them through. Yeah, go on, I'll go for both League of Ireland teams going through. I think Shelbourne will do enough up there and Rovers will do enough in Tallaght.
Class. It's 4 games in the Premier Division tonight, all 7:45 kickoffs. Waterford, Sligo, Galway, Derry, Drogheda, Pats and Bowes, Cork City and Rovers and Shells postponed, of course. We're getting suggestions in for goals.
Quite a few, Cullum.
Do you want to take them away? Oh, sorry, Kieran O'Connor. Best goal, Hernandez against Newcastle, winning 4-3 on Boxing Day.
Stephen's Day, yeah, 2013. Well, I don't remember that one.
I was just distracted by the end of the sentence, but I also don't remember the goal. Is that Chico Chicharito?
That's what I'm wondering. Yeah. Does that ring a bell to you?
Chicharito? Can you describe the goal, please? That'd be great.
Describe the goal, Kieran. Leighton Baines' free kick against Spurs, closer to the halfway line than the goal itself.
Here's the thing, set pieces.
Favourite goal was the question.
I know, but I mean, I don't. A free kick has never won the best goal of anything. Roberto Carlos, maybe.
Yeah.
David Beckham against Greece.
Yes. You're answering your own question. You're proving yourself wrong.
No, I'm asking it. But there's probably a little disrespect for free kicks.
Possibly.
What about, do you remember Janinho, the free kick specialist? The
Leon Janinho. He used to play like 45
he was
years.
Something out of FIFA, wasn't he? Yeah, he just scored from everywhere. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Pat Mustard says, Papi Cissé for Newcastle against Chelsea outside.
Oh, that was class. I don't know to this day if he really meant every bit of that. Do you know that goal? So yeah, he's on the left wing.
The left wing.
So he's basically facing the away fans. And the goal's all the way over there, like, but by Drury Street. And he hits outside the right foot, and it's beautiful. It's curls away. It's mental. It's like a drone, like, the way
if that like was a machine. Sunday League goalkeeper that he scored against, you'd go, ah, awful. But because it's Peter Cech, you go, unbelievable.
Yeah, does a great goal, right? Does it only qualify as great if the keeper could do nothing about it?
No, I think you need to see you need to tease the goalkeeper. Like if you put one into the top bin and the keeper just looks at it, it doesn't look as good as him sprawling across and trying. I think you need to tease him in there.
When you talk about Petr Cech, obviously having that, or were there any goalkeepers who, when you were on the pitch playing against them, you not were afraid of them, but you were very aware of their presence?
Yeah, there's been a few. Brad Friedel would be the one that comes to mind straight away.
Former teammate.
Yeah, like, I just remember getting into Blackburn's force team and training and doing shooting drills and being on the edge of the 18-yard box and balls being fizzed out to me, take a touch and shoot, and just feeling like I didn't have the power to get the ball past like Brad. And I'd shoot and I'd be looking down at the ball, I'd look up and he'd be standing and where I'm about to put the ball and think, I'm never going to score against this fella. And Brad Friedel was an unbelievable goalkeeper. Shea Given was good as well, really, really good. There's been loads. There's been a couple as well. Like, keepers used to be able to come out and clean you out.
Yeah.
Now it levelled out a little bit, but they used to come out with the knee up. And remember what Roy said the other day about the Arsenal goal against Manchester United? I'll take your head off.
That
was keepers thinking back in the day.
What's the best you've ever felt after a goal you've scored?
Honestly, it doesn't stick with you for very long. You score the goal and you have your little bit of a celebration, and then by the time you're about to kick back off, it's gone.
But there's no particular goal that lives with you?
No, I scored a good goal against Crystal Palace for Preston once, and I remember... No, actually, the one that gives me most satisfaction is the goal I scored against Bournemouth for Burnley against Sean Dyche against Eddie Howe. And as I was on the bench, and Bournemouth were looking to get promoted, Burnley were looking to get promoted, and the pitch, there was a storm the night before. We went to look at the pitch. It was awful. It was an absolute disgrace, and it got passed anyway. Yeah. And Ian Hart... crossed the ball in for one of the Bournemouth boys, and they went 1-0 up, and Dyche put me on, and I managed to score, and I celebrated in front of Eddie Howe, and Eddie Howe came over and shook me hand after and said, "Well done, son." And
fair enough.
That was it. Yeah, but that was the one thing that gave me a bit of satisfaction. As he smiled at me, I smiled back and said, "Good goal, son." And that's the one. Yeah.
You really love him.
I don't have any sort of ill feeling towards him. Me and him didn't get on at the time. He was young. I was an absolute nuisance of a bloke as well. So I understand why Eddie wouldn't like me. But
underused word, nuisance. But I'm saying you love Dicey.
Oh, Sean Dyche, yeah. There's a proper love there for that man. He was like while I was at Bourne, he was like a father figure to me now. And even now, we do like the odd little text messages where he just checks up on me and makes sure I'm all right. Doesn't speak about football, asks about my family. He's even now, he's like a father figure to me. Proper love there for Dyche.
That was great when he was on with us that time, wasn't it?
Yeah. He still hasn't done the job. We might be able to get him back on.
Yeah. I have something sent to me here by an AOD. The only free kick winner...
Arthur O'Dea.
Of the Puskas.
I was thinking that.
Arthur O'Dea, right?
It was his point.
Burner account.
I've never seen this goal in my life.
What?
I've never seen that goal scored.
Oh, yeah. Hear I that? Think it's from, is it from Malaysia or Thailand?
Which is here, a second. See that? No, that's just silly what the ball
that
does.
That's like a cup champion. It's a blowaway ball, that.
Yeah. That's a beach ball. Beach that's ball. Crazy.
Which goal is this now?
Huh?
That's Saudi Arabian football or right. something, is it?
That doesn't count.
Puskas.
How colonial minded of you. That doesn't count.
Well, it's a free kick, Cullum. Yeah, that's a beach ball.
I got that sent by an Arthur from Sligo.
But that's the only free kick to win the Puskas Award.
Right.
We're bringing it back to him saying a free kick and everything. That's
it's never appreciated. There's so many great free kicks that aren't underappreciated. But I tell you, there's other suggestions coming in here.
Plenty.
Pat Mustard, Adebayor was hilarious against Arsenal when he ran the pitch to abuse the away end. People are taking this to another level themselves.
Pat Mustard the...
Yeah,
milkman out of my head. Is that where I'm?
Well, he's dead. Like, but I mean, I presume it's a new version.
Brought back in the YouTube comments.
This is very hipster, Dennis Ryan, right?
This is the one where the commas are important.
No, I'm reading above it. Fave, Prem, Goal, Harrison. Yeah. Oh, it's gone. Harrison for Leeds away versus Brentford. Last day to stay up in 23. I don't remember that.
He says, great day out in London with my son Rafinha in stand. So this is where commas are important. Is was he with his son Rafinha? I think he means great day out in London with his son comma, Rafinha in stands beside us.
No, Rafinha Ryan, there's a lot to him. Berbatov was the most technically gifted player.
That was my favourite goal, yeah.
Sorry, 22 was Jack Harrison's goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cascarino has scuffed his penalty versus Romania, but the green flag went up like Darren McCarthy's versus Cork. That's how you take them, Colin. Yeah. Canu versus Chelsea, that was amazing. Just in time.
Was Darren McCarthy's penalty scuffed? Anyway. Pretty clear.
Well, Ryan's a Tipperary name, so I presume this guy's taking a lap of honour. Like, yeah. Arsenal won 3-2.
Oh, is that the Canu one they were talking about? That's the little insane. One where he comes in.
That's where it's absolutely pissing it down. Mm. And there's like a puddle on the pitch. Do you remember that?
I don't know if that's it.
Yeah. Ed De Hoy comes out, like leapfrogs out, and he goes around Ed De Hoy, and he's at a stupid angle for shooting. It doesn't make any sense that he takes a shot. You're talking about Kasami's making sense. It goes in. Oh, it's unbelievable.
But that's this the goal is coming I'm thinking up of. The end line, Canu.
Huh?
Canu's not coming straight in.
No, he's on the byline. He should cross the ball in. And Ed De Hoy comes out. Goes around Ed De Hoy and it's his hat-trick goal and he puts it in. Like he whips cross, it in. I think it's Frank Leboeuf on the line. Unbelievable goal.
Yeah, I'm actually watching it back here.
Dermot Keenan's trying to get some order here. Lads, was the question not what's your favourite Premier League goal and why? Not the best goals ever. Dermot's listening, you know. Right. That's exactly it, like. Not the best. Matt, a scissors kick 2015 against Liverpool, says Adam Harrington. Mm. That won the game at Anfield under Louis van Gaal.
Yeah.
Decent, yeah. Not it's good, but again, favourite, that could be a favourite for a reason. He's kind of flying, volley with his left foot, bounces, goes into the far corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Phil Jagielka's volley versus Liverpool, since P-Well 74. That was a great one. Mm. And Merseyside Derby too, so it's crucial.
Diogo Jota, I don't know if you said this one, goal versus Everton last season, more or less wrapped up the title with that, and it was sadly his last ever goal.
Well, that's like the best really, isn't it? You're not going to get better than that.
No.
We said Leighton Baines free kick, didn't we? The Canio scissors kick versus Wimbledon. Yeah, that's always brought up as well. But again, I've seen that goal so often.
We're getting off point every time here. People just keep sucking it away. it's the best goals.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens to people. You give people an inch, like, you know. We try to include these people and they come up with new parameters.
I've got one. Troy Deeney. I know it's a championship goal.
Yes.
The one where Leicester had a penalty, goes down the
that's
other end.
That's all about the commentary as well,
all
isn't
about
it?
The commentary, but
so good.
Sticks with me. And do you know what? I've got my favourite goal. If you think of a goal where the force touch makes the goal.
Yeah.
Bergkamp against Newcastle. Mm. Who is the centre-half he takes that touch around?
Nicholas Stavridis.
He's tutting Cullum.
What a touch.
Nicholas Stavridis, who must have played for Greece the Euro 2004.
Probably, yeah. But the ball is wrapped into him. It's up around his hip. He's facing the wrong way. And the touch with the inside of his left foot just bamboozles the defender.
They don't know how he did it.
The pirouette and finish like that is... I remember looking at it and thinking, my God, he's on the next level, this fella. And unbelievable stuff. That's probably that's the goal I stick with all the time. It's the one I tried to replicate as a kid.
Mm. I tell you who'd be a great addition to this conversation. It's very enjoyable as it is, but we'd make it... Shay Given. Do you know why?
Mm.
He's been the recipient of some of the great goals in Premier League history.
Yeah.
That Bergkamp one, Wayne Rooney volley at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Patrick Vieira thunder bastard at Highbury.
Which volley? The Man City one?
No, Rooney's volley against Newcastle.
Oh.
When he's complaining to Chris Foy, I think, the ref. And then a second later, he's pounding it.
Shay would be a great addition if this was about the best goals, Cullum. But this is, of course, about the favourite Premier League goals, as you well know.
Subjective, of course. He could pick anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So let's get back to track.
That was the whole point. That's what I asked you last night. Let's talk about favourite goals, lads.
Kenny Cunningham was the man who was there for all these goals, wasn't he? He was
there for Tony Yeboah.
And Di Canio. Ball went over his head.
That Yeboah one against Wimbledon is one of the most aesthetically pleasing goals ever. The one that hits the bar, hits the line, it's the top of the net.
I've got
again.
A little story for you.
Yeah.
who was the big Scottish centre half that played for Blackburn?
Oh, Colin Hendry.
He lived next to me. He lived next door to me in Lytham. And I was reading Paul Gascoigne's book, wherever it is. And on the back of the book, I had the picture of Gascoigne flicking the ball over his head.
Yeah.
And I seen him one morning. He said, "Would you sign that for me?" No, wouldn't sign it for me.
Colin Hendry wouldn't sign it.
Wasn't having it at all.
But this guy, like, he's a Premier League winner.
Did he know who you were? Sorry.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, I probably just thought it was the Muppet from next door, but it was, what an iconic picture. But now he just point blank said, I'm not signing.
Are you suggesting that's what Keith said when he refused?
No, I'm just curious.
Do you know who I am? Yeah. So Colin Hendry like went from the most euphoric moment of his life in 95 to that moment in 96. And that's all people remember him for. Slipping.
Ah, some people.
People remember him for. Origi versus Everton. Such a jammy goal. So that's what I mean, like, because a jammy can be your favourite.
You know, there was a lovely goal, and I don't really even want to bring this up because it's against Arsenal. Do you remember Eric Lamela's Rabona finish? What a goal.
Oh, yeah, that was class.
That
was a Puskás winner too, I think.
Yeah,
it won the Puskás, did it?
I think it did.
He definitely did at some point.
That was his thing, wasn't it? Lamela Puskás, he was like, he'd do Rabona goals and he gets sent off. That's what Lamela did. Very specific niche. But the moments players are the ones that you remember, you know?
What did you make, by the way, Keith, of the halftime interview? I'd forgotten this was going to happen, but the Odegaard interview, I know it's a TV thing happening in the Premier League this season, but saw Wayne Rooney speaking about it this week, saying Alex Ferguson would never have allowed that to happen. Strange one.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine I'd want to do it as a player. You know, halftime, people coming up looking for your thoughts. Your head is elsewhere. And yeah, it's as a journalist, as a pundit, I look at it and think, brilliant, it's another little surface we can get in behind and have a look behind the curtain. But as a player, I wouldn't be interested in doing it whatsoever. And I can imagine managers wouldn't want their players doing it either.
Steve Staunton for Aston Villa at Old Trafford. Ball smashes the stanchion.
This is what we're looking for.
Says Rory Larmour. Yeah. And that's it. Like, it's the sound that reminds me. I have one. Two. John O'Shea at Highbury. The chip.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
The non-celebrated.
Do you know what's unreal there? Do you know what? I was asking you last night about great assists. Scholes' pass for that goal outside the right foot. Goes around the defenders, never really thought about. Mm-hmm. O'Shea stops it, chips Manuel Amunia, doesn't know what to do in celebration.
Yeah.
Unreal, right? And then another one for me, David Bentley's goal in the North London Derby at the Emirates, touch and volley from about 45 yards out in a game that finished 4-4.
Did you see he's under the cosh?
I did, yeah.
Ah, he's a madman, isn't he?
I did. I thought he was going to, I was hoping he was going to mention you. No. He didn't really mention many people, but... there's a man at peace with his decisions that he walked away from football at 29. But that goal, sensational. What do those goals have in common? John O'Shea's chip at Highbury and David Bentley's volley from distance. It's the unexpected. It's like you should never do that. That doesn't make any sense that you would do that.
Yeah.
Mm. Like when John O'Shea received that ball, he could have kept him running and made the finish easier.
You mentioned one pre-show. Was it you, the Spurs one? Which was again unexpected from distance.
Oh, the Eric Edmund one?
Eric Edmund.
Simon, yeah. That's the one from. Yeah, that's the one. That's me, but whatever, yeah. Give him credit.
Was that you? Let him.
That was amazing. Precious. That was 45 yards out, Eric Edmund. And it's pile driven.
Keeper probably has to ask himself a few questions.
I'm sure he is to this day. What was I doing?
He's still standing.
I think that's Pepe Reina. Must have been.
possibly Dudek.
Oh, I don't know. Was it Paul Studer? Eric Edmund. Let us always have a 180.
If he's in touch.
Yeah. Do you know? And they were wearing Kappa Spurs when they had that beautiful material, that tight. That we bring it back to last week. Now you see.
Yeah.
Skin tight. On Keith Friday.
Yeah.
I've got one for you that sticks with me for all the wrong reasons. Do you remember the Villa against Birmingham? Peter Enkelman and goal.
Did he touch it though?
I think he had to touch it because if he doesn't touch it, I don't think it's a legal goal. But the fact that it scraped off the bottom of his studs, I think it's a legal goal. But I remember being at Blackburn and Peter Enkelman was the number two to Brad Friedel, and Brad played in everything. So if there's a friendly, there's an under-9s game and Brad would play in it, he played in everything. Peter never got a look in.
Yeah.
But we were in Austria and we were playing, I think it was Galatasaray, and Rivaldo was playing for Galatasaray, and the Mark Hughes said, look, Peter, you're going to start today. Like, Brad's not happy, but he's not playing. You're going to play. You deserve a little pat on the back. He went out to warm up and they were doing cross, and he came out to pick one up, rolled his ankle. He was out for 6 months and Brad had to play.
Peter Enkelman,
yeah. And that's Peter that. Enkelman. Very, you know, I think he actually got that at the time, yeah. Peter Enkelman. But yeah,
you're talking about moments, right? But a moment can work against you. Peter Enkelman was a perfectly fine goalkeeper.
He was.
But if you say his name now, that's all you think about.
Roy Carroll's the same, probably. Decent keeper.
Yeah. Mm.
You know.
But he provided a service at least, because it was, we got to get goal line technology in.
Yeah.
Enkelman didn't help with anything.
Yeah.
Fergal O'Hanlon, man after my own heart. This, I think, is my favourite goal in football history. This one here. Andros Townsend against City.
Molly?
did you ever see that goal at the Etihad? It's Christmas time for Crystal Palace against Man City. Time, that period where Palace kept them beating City. So this is around then. And it's an insane goal. It doesn't make any sense. Like, from a physics point of view, the ball's coming from a height. There's no momentum on it at all. He's about 35 yards out and he whip volleys it into the top corner. Mm. It's a stupid goal.
That's what we want.
Doesn't make any sense. So it's right up there for me. Mm-hmm.
You know, what about Zidane's against Bayer Leverkusen in the World Cup final? The Champions League final.
Why don't I feel that way about it?
Because it comes out of the sky and he hits it under the crossbar. For the ball to come out of the sky, hit it with your left foot, and keeps that level.
It's ridiculous. And there's a view from behind the goal of Hamden that night which just shows the quality of it because it starts going out wide and goes in. I'd still prefer. I was talking about the Champions League final goals, actually. I still prefer Gareth Bale's against Liverpool. Yeah. Right, the big one.
Oh, you're wrong.
Oh, I'm afraid not, man. Sorry.
Mm. Bobby Dwyer says, technically the most beautiful goal ever scored was Brendan Johnson against Man United in the Europa League final, but I appreciate this is Premier League specific. Well, having been at that game, I can say
it was that ball?
The worst goal you'll ever see.
It was more of a try than a goal, it over the line.
The goal's a goal, wins the European trophy, in fairness.
Gareth Bale's goal, it's not talked about enough, that bicycle kick. It's stupid. Marcelo fires the ball. I was going to say something else there with F. He fires the ball in.
A third.
The acrobatic nature of it, the technique to get it on time. It's insane what he does, that he contorts his body in such a short space of time and gets it in. Zidane had more time to think about it.
That's hard.
Zidane is probably the technically tougher goal to score of the two. But for some reason, this all goes back to the favourite subjectivity thing. Is I just prefer Bale's goal.
Yeah.
I prefer the look of it.
The best goal I did comms on.
Yeah.
It was the last
good
year.
Question.
Garnacho overhead.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was Nathan doing that.
Ridiculous.
Do you think that no one's mentioning that now? Because Garnacho is in the public bad books. So it's I can't really say anything good about Garnacho. Because that was such a moment in time. Yeah. Did he shin it?
I don't think he should.
Rooney shinned it.
To be fair, I think Rooney's is slightly more difficult because the cross in from Nani gets a deflection and he has to readjust. And two of them are unbelievably difficult things to do. But yeah, the Garnacho one I was doing comms for, so that one sticks with me a little bit more than the Rooney one.
Special.
The low cross that in, and there was no deflection. Yeah, and the ball was because it was gone away from him.
From the ball.
Yeah, it was going away.
We'll keep YouTube comments coming in on this because
there's loads coming in. Loads coming in,
we'll get
Giggs versus Arsenal in the FA Cup. Yeah, that's a great childhood memory because, again, I watched that live. Mm. One of those goals, when you watch it live, it's unbelievable what he does. But if you look back at it, I still to this day don't know what Patrick Vieira was doing with that pass. He passes to no one in particular and Giggs takes it up. It is mental how Arsenal players don't tackle him.
It was in extra time though, wasn't it? I think
extra time, yeah.
Ugarte did that on Sunday.
It's actually the finish. The finish is ridiculous what he does. To shoot from there and then roof of the net job over Seaman.
Yeah.
That game is my favourite game ever.
Then the hairy chest sticks with me.
Beckham's goal in that game is unreal too, where he whips it into the far corner.
Is that a free kick or from
Teddy Sheringham gives it to him.
There's my best ever assist.
Oh yeah.
When I can't remember who Real Madrid were playing, but Beckham is running off the pitch on the halfway line and just whips it around the back four. I think it's the Brazilian Ronaldo. It's not even there. You're looking and thinking there's no pass and he just finds it there. You're like, that's probably my best there. I know it's not Premier League, but you mentioned Beckham there, that pinged one on my head.
Yeah. Well, there's the slot next week on Keith's Friday. We'll do assists next week.
Assist.
That's a tougher one, isn't it?
It is tougher, yeah. Don't stick with it as much assist, do you?
No, we'll have to do some research.
And then the week after, we'll do the assist before the assist.
Exactly, yeah. We'll just keep going back.
Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, Inception. Keith, thanks a million for coming in.
No problem,
let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Tracy,
not a good one there.
Yeah, go for it.
Ronaldo's bicycle kick against Juventus for Real Madrid.
Oh, yeah.
And the applause starts happening around. When the opposition applauds you. Ronaldinho at the Burnabeu.
Yeah.
What about when Messi sat down, was it Boateng when he's running?
Bayern Munich.
I can't believe we haven't mentioned Messi.
Messi's called against Getafe where he runs the pitch when he's very young, when he has the long hair, he's number 30.
Did you ever listen to that with the Spanish commentary?
Ancora Messi. Go.
That's actually a good impersonation. Yeah. It's not bad. You do that the Sunday and off the ball with the
much looking at CCC.
What game are you on?
Fulham United.
Yeah. Looking forward to that one, 4:30 Sunday. We'll have Brighton and Everton too, or Everton Brighton, I should say. Do it last commentary of both of those games and off the ball Sunday in Newstalk. Keith, thanks a million for coming in.
Cheers, lads.